の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずく。This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world have stopped gathering around because the team is also stopped playing, at least until, well, I guess until, no, Phoenix League is still going on, and then they have fall camp, and then they'll have voluntary training, and then it's spring training again. So there's no break for the Tigers, but there is a break for H10 coming soon. I'm your host, T-Ray. This is episode 108, and today is Tuesday, October the 15th. Joining in from Kyoto is JD. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. I would obviously be doing better if we had more baseball to keep up with. But, you know, I've got a few other sports to keep me busy and tide it over for the long off season. We had a fantastic run there at the end, but it unfortunately came to an end. And here we are to do the sort of post-mortem on the Giants series in this podcast today.
Yeah, that's right. So because it is kind of a season ender of sorts, we will be back for episode 109 in a couple of weeks, by the way. But as far as reporting on season action, this is the last one. So we are going to recap this last playoff series. We're also going to do our annual H10 Awards. So you'll see who we thought were the best, the worst, the best, biggest surprises, biggest disappointments, the whole nine yards. And we'll be back with all of that and more right after this.
Boomers and news. Boomers and news. Boomers and news. Boomers and news.
Well, you heard the music. This is Rumors and News time, everybody. And because the season ended, you know, it's funny. This happens for every team, but like the day after their season ends, like 8 to 10 stories break on each team. And I think it's because, you know, the press has been told to keep a tight lid on things, and they actually don't do a bad job of it. So our first bit of news, I guess, would be that our hitting coach, Osamu Hamanaka, has stepped down. And, you know, nobody's sad about that, really, I don't think. And we've got a guy named Kazuki Inoue, who has been the hitting coach for the Dragons, not in recent years, but maybe at the start of the decade when they were a bit better. He apparently is going to be joining the team, and so Yano is tapping into his Dragons connections to get us a little bit of help from the outside. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, it. You know, I think we've talked about this on an episode, maybe 10 or 15 episodes ago, you know, about what effect a hitting coach actually has on the players. And they're from what I can tell, the opinion seems to be pretty divided. Some people say it can have a tremendous effect, and other people say it doesn't really have much of an effect at all. It's really just up to the players, ultimately. I don't really know. Obviously, I'm not a baseball expert in that sense, but something obviously needs to be done about the anemic offense because the guys are just not producing enough. And, you know, you got to just try whatever you can, I think. So I don't know a lot about Inoue himself. I'm just hoping he'll be able to contribute and help get some of our guys really producing the way that they should be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know Inoue either. I did a little quick look up on him, and apparently, I mean, he grew up a Tigers fan. And so I guess that's maybe one reason that he is joining the fold, as opposed to staying with the Dragons, you know, because a lot of teams, it's not just the Tigers that tend to stay in-house. A lot of teams do. Mm-hmm. You know, with Yano being a former Dragon in his playing days, or part of them, he's got some connections over there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit as well. But yeah, so we'll see how Inoue does. I personally think, though, the coaches have a little bit more say than people give them credit or, you know, believe. In that, you know, when we had Kataoka, it seemed like the hitters took a certain attitude when they were hitting. Our boy Oyama tended to go a lot more opposite field hitting, you know, in certain situations, instead of sticking to his normal hitting style. And so I think that coaches tend to push their way on the players a little bit too much and say, this is how you got to hit if you want to have success. Or you need to be more of an average hitter, like hit for a better average, and this is how you're going to do it. As opposed to saying, what kind of hitter do you want to be? Okay, let's help you become that hitter, which is the way that I think it should be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about guys that have left the fold or will be possibly coming back, but we're not sure. So we'll start with our boy Toritani, who played in his final game just the other day. And now it's kind of up in the air as to what is going to happen with him. Apparently, though, his number one for the Tigers will be kind of in semi-retired mode until somebody worthy of the number comes along, is what they're saying. So I don't know. I guess that's a good thing. Like, I don't think anyone should be picking it up next season. But, you know, much like the number six with Kanemoto, I think it's going to be, put to rest for a little while. But what do you think? I've heard that Toritani could be signed by either Chiba Lotte, Yokohama, Seibu Lions, or Oryx. Those are the four teams that I've seen his name attached to in the news. Any thoughts on where you think he might go or where you'd like him to go?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't really know if I'm kind of looking at things too simplistically here, but I feel like he would get more playing time if he stayed in the Central League, right? I mean, because, you know, at his age and with his... I don't know. I don't see him as being sort of starting lineup material, especially in the Pacific League. And I feel like, you know, with the Central League, you know, with the constant swapping out of pitchers and whatnot and pinch hitting situations and stuff, he'd get a lot more playing time, which seems to, you know, have been a factor in him, deciding not to hang up his spikes and retire as a Tiger. So I feel like, you know, at least based on what he seems to want to do, that Yokohama is probably the most logical choice. But I don't know if I'm missing something here and you can sort of set me straight.
No, I don't think you're missing anything at all. In fact, you know, there's definitely been some strong talks of him being there, but also Lotte, you know, with he and their manager Iguchi formerly working out together, you know, every January for just a long stretch of time. That his name is definitely in their mix as well. But Iguchi has gone on record as to say that this is something that we're going to discuss as a coaching staff after the draft. And so obviously they're not going to pounce on him just quite yet. Mm-hmm. You know, there's talk that he might go to Yokohama. And then also Hiroki Uemoto is a free agent. And there's talk that he might, you know, he hasn't decided either, but he might leave and want to go somewhere where he's going to get more playing time. So we could just see like a straight former Hanshin set of infielders with the Yokohama Bay Stars before we know it.
It would be funny to see Uemoto, Yamato, and Toritani all in the field for Yokohama at the same time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would. And, I think that might give them better success against the Tigers, if nothing else. So we also have a bunch of foreigners who have left the country, at least for the off season, and we're not sure if they are going to be back with the team or not. Nothing has been announced officially, and none of them are under contract officially for 2020 just yet. But I read that the team is looking to re-sign Onelki Garcia, Jeffrey Marte, and Pierce Johnson, and that Rafael Dolis's status is kind of up in the air. It just kind of depends on how the team does as far as signing other guys, because they are looking to get a slugger or two, and if they've got, you know, multiple hitters, they can't really hold on to that many pitchers and you know, have everyone expect to get playing time. So, you know, he might be the one that gets the boot, so to speak. We're really not sure. Any thoughts on these guys?
No, well, I mean, you know, Dolis, like we've talked about this before, he might just be the odd man out in terms of what the team needs. You know, if they can pick up a really good foreign sort of power hitter type guy, I mean, there's somebody's got to go, you know. So it would be too bad too, because obviously he's performed more than well enough, I think, to deserve getting called back up to the team. But you know, we're just like you said, we're gonna have to wait and see how the acquisitions play out. I feel kind of bad for Johnson though, because I mean, he went back home for the birth of his kid, came back over here to Japan, and they lost, and so it's like, okay, now he's gonna go back all over again. But we'll see. Hopefully now he can relax a little bit and enjoy some downtime with his family.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I will say this though too. Oh, sorry, one quick correction. I think I said on the last show that I thought it was that he had a girl. In fact, it was a boy. So my bad on that. But congrats to the Johnson family. Going from that congratulations, I want to say this. Some players have great single seasons and then kind of flame out after that. And I'm not saying that Johnson would do that, but, you know, there is always that chance, because we've seen it happen with other foreigners. We've seen it happen even with other Japanese players. And so in some ways, I almost feel like Dolise is the safer choice. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnson had the better 2019, but, you know, Dolise has been with the team for 4 years. And so you kind of know what you're going to expect. And he's not going to suddenly, you know, have an uncharacteristic 5 ERA next season or anything like that. I mean, he's always kept himself under 3.
Yeah.
And we know what to expect with him. So I would feel bad if we don't re-sign him or if we don't use him, even if we do re-sign him. Because he's definitely put in the time and he's definitely made his mark on the team. So...
Yep, no, I agree 100%. Like, him being the odd man out is definitely not my wish, you know, but like I said, just based on what the team's needs are, that might just be the way it plays out, but we'll see.
Indeed, we will. Final bit of news, and that is that our dear pitcher Yuki Nishi was named Pitcher of the Month for September. He went 4-0, and he pitched 28 innings and had a 1.93 ERA, if I'm not mistaken. That 4 wins, that 1.93 ERA are both tops in the CL for the month of September. So that's his first winning of the award, obviously, in the Central, but he also won it once in the Pacific. But good on him for that.
Yeah, and I would like to remind all of our listeners who chose him as the player of the month as well. That would be yours truly. So I think the press is tuning in and starting to pick up on my baseball expertise here. And finally...
They listen to us. They have to. There's no other explanation. So you owe us, Nishi. You owe us some beers or something. Now, speaking of Nishi, we are going to get to him at the end of our recaps because he was pitching in one of these 4 games that we played against the Yomiuri Giants. Let's talk about it. So as you all know, this was a best of 7 series with the first game already having been given to the Giants on paper. So it was essentially a best of 6 with us needing to take 4 of those 6. Game 1 took place on Wednesday night and we put Mochizuki on the mound. They had their stud Shun Yamaguchi on the mound. And Mochizuki just kind of fell apart right from the start. Gave up a couple home runs to Maru and Okamoto in the first inning. And then 3 runs in the second, walked several guys, and left after 2 innings pitched, 5 runs against. We got 1 run back on a wild pitch in the 4th, and then we got another one in the 9th on a walk. But that's it. 5-2 is the final.
Yeah, there was a bit of an imbalance between the pitchers in this one for sure, man. So it was kind of lopsided from the very beginning, and I had a feeling this is how this was going to play out when I heard that Mochizuki was going to be our starter. So yeah, no surprises in this one.
Well, so the 2 innings that we scored runs, we actually got up to bases loaded. And so it was 5-1 after that first run. And Oyama had a chance to tie the game on, you know, with one swing of the bat. Didn't happen. And then in the top of the 9th, of course, it's 2 outs, right? Both of these situations, 2 outs. But Hojo scored and then Kinami came up with a chance with one swing of the bat to either tie with a bases clearing something or to give us the lead with a home run. Of course, neither of them happened. And so we ended up losing 5-2. And like you said, I mean, just a big difference. And you can see right from the start of this series that, you know, there's definitely a gap between the Giants and the Tigers as far as natural ability, as far as hitting ability, especially.
Yeah.
So let's move into game 2 where the gap became even more apparent. Nothing to talk about on the Tigers end of things. So it was Haruto Takahashi up against CC Mercedes. And in the first inning, Takahashi gave up back-to-back hits to set up a runners on the corners type of situation. Maru hit into a double play for their first run. And then they scored more. Guerrero hit a home run. They got a couple more runs on a Maru sack fly as well as an Okamoto hit. And then that was it. And then they got one more in the 8th. But yeah, 6-0 was the final. We managed 3 singles and that's it. So not even close to threatening to score in this one. So now we're down, after 2 games, we're down 3-0. Mm-hmm. How do you like that math? Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to say about this one either. It was, I don't even remember how much of it I watched, but there was nothing really much to watch at all. So I definitely didn't follow the whole thing all the way through.
Okay, then let's move on to game 3 where we have a little bit of brighter news for you, everybody. For one, the Tigers got their first lead of the series. By the way, the starting pitchers were Aoyagi against their guy Togo, who's just a young pitcher on there, and I think 19 years old. Anyways, we got the first run in the top of the 3rd on a solo home run by Umeno. So we show our hitting power for once and almost for only right there. But that lead didn't last very long. In the bottom of the 3rd, we lost the lead In fact, it was 3-1 by the end of the third inning, thanks to an Okamoto double, which was very close to being a home run, and then an Abe single that he muscled over a drawn-in infield. So 3-1. They got another one in the fourth inning, so it's 4-1, and it's looking like the series is going to be over, except that in the fifth inning, our boys came to life with 5 runs on a Takayama RBI single, an Umino RBI single, and then a bases-clearing triple by Chikamoto. So 6-4, and now it's looking great again. We've got the lead for all of 7 pitches because Dolis walked Maru on 4 straight pitches, or pardon me, on 5 pitches. And then the second pitch that Okamoto saw, he crushed. So tie game 6-6. And so, yeah, like our leads lasted less than half an inning both times. But fortunately, our relievers held on tight after that. Iwazaki and then Kyuji did it. Wait, the home run didn't come off of Dolis, did it? It came off of Shimamoto, or was it Dolis? I forgot. Not important. Anyways, top of the ninth inning, Oyama, miracle boy, after 8 p.m., gets her done. Top of the ninth, and he hits a 1-2 pitch over the right field wall, 7-6 lead, and QG clamps down, and we get ourselves a win. And honestly, like, Tigers fans were acting as though the series was ours and we're going to come back and show them who's who. We got one day off because of a typhoon, and you know, we also thought, hey, maybe that's going to help us give our boys a bit of rest, our bullpen a bit of rest, and maybe we'll have some time to figure out their pitching and we'll get this done. No guy. So on Sunday, we go in. We get a lead again with a sac fly in the second inning, 1-0, and that lead holds until the fifth inning. Yuki Nishi on the mound, by the way, for us, and it was their Takahashi, Yuki Takahashi, on the mound for them. Anyways, Nishi gave up a solo home run to none other than Okamoto in the fifth inning. That's his third home run of this four-game-old series. So 1-1, and then in the sixth inning, this is the series definer and one that's going to be talked about for a long time. With 2 outs and a runner on third, Yoshihiro Maru decided to lay down a bunt, a squeeze play, but typically squeeze plays assume that the runner is going to be out, and if he had been out, it wouldn't have been a run. However, Nishi kind of scrambled and threw the ball wide of first base, and so Maru was safe. The run scores. It's 2-1. Nishi is down on the ground, unable to get up because of mental exhaustion because of that play, disappointment in himself. But ultimately, he came off the carpet. And then our relievers came in. Who was it? It was Iwazaki who gave up a 2-run home run to Guerrero. That would be his second home run of the series. And so 4-1, and that's how this one ends. So we got all of 2 hits in this game, both of them off of the bat of miracle boy Yusuke Oyama. Series over. Giants win 4-1. Thoughts on this game or thoughts on the series?
Well, nothing on this game in particular either. It was good to see Nishi on the mound anyway. You know, we were kind of wondering if he was going to be able to make it or not, but he did. And, you know, it was, I think it was appropriate that he got the call there because I think he's been pretty much one of our, you know, best pitchers, probably our best starter for the whole season. You know, what can you really say? I mean, overall, I think that the teams are just completely lopsided, particularly in hitting. You know, the Giants have guys who are who can hit for average, who are power threats up and down the lineup. And like you said, like Guerrero, that sort of X factor, you get through the heart of the lineup and then you've got like 2 other guys like behind that can take you out of the park as well. And yeah, I mean, it just showed the difference there. And also the fact that, you know, our starting rotation was kind of a mess after what we went through to put the Bay Stars away. I just, you know, I don't like, I'm not trying to say like I told you so or anything like that, but I felt like coming into this series that we were basically at a disadvantage with just about everything, maybe aside from our bullpen. Beyond that, I don't think we had any real advantage and any real chance at this one. And the Giants, just a better team. And so you just tip your cap to them and I guess wish them the best.
Yeah, I mean, don't wish them the best. I don't want them to beat the Hawks. I don't know about you. Here's the one thing that has me actually kind of rooting for the Hawks. If they do, in fact, win this one, first of all, they've lost 9 of 10 Japan series to the Giants, historically speaking. So it's high time that they start chipping away at that lead. But the other one is that if they do win this, did you know that the Hawks will have won the Japan series 6 times this decade, once against each of the other of the CL teams? They beat the Dragons in 2011, us in 14, Swallows in 15, the Bay Stars in 17, and the Carp in 18. So all they got left is the Giants. And so it's got to be done.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, that gives me a good reason to cheer for them then. That's good. Yeah. Just put the final gold star on your resume or whatever there. Yeah.
And then after that, they can stop right there. I mean, yeah. We can put an end to their winning at the end of the decade. That'll be fine with me.
Yeah.
So, there you go. My final thoughts on this series, again, I would say that, even though you said the bullpen was our strength, our bullpen had just been taxed so badly, not only against the Bay Stars, but even to end the season. So they really had nothing left, and we didn't have any starters to step up and, play the innings that they needed to play. I mean, our best starter, even in this series, Nishi went 6 innings, which was nice to see, 6 innings and 2 runs against. But other than him, I mean, nobody really went very far in any of these games, right? I mean, I think Haruto was pulled after 3 innings, and that was because his turn came up in the order. It wasn't because he was pitching poorly. And Aoyagi, I think, did he last 4 or was it 5? Or I forgot.
I can't remember, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, so none of our starters really got her done. And so, yeah, well, that brings us to, do you have any players of the series? We kind of already gave like a player of the series to the... in the Bay Stars series. What about this one?
Yeah, well, I mean, based on that, I think Hojo really helped get us here. Average-wise, he batted .333 for the series. I mean, beyond that, the only person I can really think of, man, I don't know. I guess, I mean, average-wise, Umeno, Umeno had some the best success at the plate out of anyone. No real huge standouts. There are a few guys who played pretty well, but I don't think anybody in particular really jumped out at me.
I'm going to surprise you and give it to Oyama because his home run got us the one win that we got in this series. And then also in that last game, he's the only one that put the ball in play and got on base as a result. So Oyama gets it for me as far as hitters. And as far as pitchers go, hats off to Kyuji, man. I mean, he was great against the Bay Stars. But even in this one, when he was called on and he was leaned on, even in this last game when we were down 4-1, they called on Kyuji to kind of bring this one to an end. And he did. I mean, he shut them down for what it was worth at that point,
Yeah.
Just for the one inning, but nevertheless, I mean, he pitched. He continued to pitch perfect ball. Other than that one little belch, was it the last game of the season? Was that the one we were at, or was it the game before? It was the game before, right?
Yeah.
Where he gave up 3 runs.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, he's been pretty flawless for months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll give it to Kyuji. I don't know about you. Any?
Yeah. For pitchers, absolutely. I think it's got to go to Kyuji. I mean, considering what the guy, I'll talk about this a little bit later too, not to give any spoilers away or anything, but considering what the guy's doing at his age, he's the same age as me. But yeah, what he's doing at this age is just amazing, I think. And he just continues to be super reliable in pretty much whatever situation you put him in. So yeah, hope to see him back next season in the same form that he's in this year.
Definitely. And I think they're going to make a strong push to get him into the Meikyukai, which is the kind of the Golden Boys Club as far as excellence in baseball here. It's not Hall of Fame, but it's kind of, if you get in there, you get in the Hall of Fame almost guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He needs to get to 250 saves, and I think he's only like 12 away or something like that. He's not very far off. And so I'm pretty sure they'll give him the closer's role. Even if he doesn't deserve it, I think he'll get it out of spring and see how he does with it. Sorry, one more thing we didn't mention, and that was that the series ended on Takashi Toritani's at-bat, which is his final one as a Hanshin Tiger. He grounded out to second, which is kind of true to form, at least this season. It's kind of what he did a lot of, even last year, a lot of groundouts to second. And so there you have it. That's the end of his career. And I did read an article that said, he was willing to take a huge pay cut to stay with the Tigers, but they never made him that offer. That option never came up from management. So, that's kind of a real unfortunate end to his career. But we wish him all the best. As we said earlier, we wish him all the best wherever he goes.
Yep.
So, one last time, man, and especially because this was a losing series, we got to end the year with a Yano.
Wait, what did you do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
Oh, I love the music, and we got to thank Jimbo for putting that together.
Absolutely,
for us.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah. So I don't have anything too ridiculous. I mean, I think there wasn't much Yano could do going up against the Giants because they overpower us in all ways. I would say just that he played for one run a little bit too much, and that was shown a few times in the first couple games, and then Even in this last one, when we got our one-run lead, Oyama led off the inning with a double, and he got bunted over to third base and then sac flied in home. Now, the sac fly, of course, was maybe not necessarily the call, but it wasn't a bad decision once he was on third. But to bunt him over was putting little trust in the hitters to actually get it done. And after a guy hits a double, to say to the pitcher, okay, we'll reward you with that, you know, we'll reward you by giving you an out here if you'll give us one more base. And of course, every pitcher in his right mind is going to take that. So
yeah, well, I mean, like, what are you going to do? I mean, you're gonna play like small ball, like for one run here and one run there, up against a team that's going to hit home runs. It's going to, you know, just put up crazy lopsided numbers. Just, you're setting yourself up to lose with that. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would also say though that it's a catch 22 because, you know, if he hadn't bunted, maybe we don't score the run, and then people are going to say, hey, come on, what's going on here? Like, can't we manufacture runs at least somehow? And so, I mean, he was trying to at least get, you know, the little bit of runs that we could get. So I'll give him that. But I also don't really like that strategy, especially against the Giants. One run is not going to cut it ever. So how about you? What you got?
Yeah, well, I'm going to preface this by saying that, you know, our, like you said, our bullpen was extremely taxed. Our starting rotation was a real mess. So I think, you know, Yano himself said at the beginning of the series, he's like, I don't really have too many choices here. But I'm going to have to say, going with Mochizuki for the first game that we played was yes. just kind of weird because, I mean, you know, just considering how little experience he had and what has happened to him when he's faced the Giants before. You know, he'd already given up two home runs, I think, in the very short playing time he had against the Giants. It just really made me wonder. And, you know, yes, I understand that, you know, our staff was very, yeah, there are very few options, you know, our staff was taxed already, but, you know, we did have, particularly Iwasada, I think, you know, he was on the top squad. And I think just, you know, looking at his past experience, you know, what he's done in the past, and, you know, he's had decent success against the Giants in the past as well. Seems like it would yeah. make more sense to have Iwasada in there. And then maybe Mochizuki as sort of the backup option. I believe it was kind of the other way around, but it just, that move just really didn't make much sense to me, because I mean, we're just, you know, we really need that first game. I think was really important for us to sort of set the tone, and we did set the tone with it. We set the tone for the rest of the series getting beat, and I just that just struck me as kind of a weird decision. So
okay, so on that note, you know, the Giants hadn't played a meaningful ball game in, you know, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you know, they obviously they'd taken a ton of batting practice, and they did some intra-squad matches and stuff, but talk about giving them extra batting practice by putting Mochizuki in there first. Now, this is a guy also that had come in relief in his previous outings. You know, he hadn't started a game in a long time. So, yeah, again, why not Iwasada, right? Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. All right, well, that's enough rehashing of a series that didn't go very well. But let me tell you, man, it was a good season overall. And so let's go into the hot topic, which is giving out the H10 Awards 2019 style. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Hot topics. Hot topics. So we've got multiple categories here. We're going to go through them one by one, and we've also got a couple of contributors to the show who have sent in their votes via the old cloud. And so let's go first with the most important one, and that would be our hitter of the year. You know, we name a hitter of the month every month throughout the season, but what about when you look back at the whole picture? Let's go with Zorni and Sanjay first. They actually agreed on Chikamoto for this one as their hitter of the year, and actually I'm down with that as well.
Make it unanimous. I'm there too.
Well, there you go. Okay, so let's give the old stat line for Chikamoto here. He played in 142 games and had an incredible 640 plate appearances. Unbelievable. He set a Central League record for rookies with 159 hits, which included 36 base hits. I kind of thought he'd have more than that this year, truth be told. I really thought he'd have at least more doubles. He had 20 doubles, 7 triples, 9 home runs. Stole 36 bases, which is not hitting, but it's still offense. Only grounded into 2 double plays and batted .271 on the year. His OPS was just under 700, which is not amazing, but when you consider what his role was, he did it. Anything to add to that or anything you want to say about Chikamoto?
9 home runs. I mean, look how many home runs the guys on our team hit. He's tied for 4th place. I mean, Yeah. I mean, he basically, in terms of the Tigers, I mean, he basically did it all. And then as a player too, he just, I mean, what else can you say? You know, when he sets a record like that, I mean, he's your hitter of the year, period.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? Do you think if he'd played on a different team, he would have hit more home runs in his rookie year? Because, I mean, not a lot of his hits were close to home runs. I mean, the ones that were close ended up being home runs. But I don't know. I think he would have at least reached double digits. But I don't know if he would have gotten more than a dozen or maybe 15. But, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, like, how his career pans out in terms of, like, where he tends to hit better. Like, if he has certain stadiums that he really likes to hit in, and maybe he gets more home runs there. And if we sort of, you know, add those stats up over a few years, might be able to answer that a little bit better, yeah.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Our first winner is Koji Chikamoto, number 5. Hopefully Rookie of the Year this year, but that remains to be seen. That will come in about 2 weeks' time when the NPB Awards take place. So, pitcher of the year. You know, we pretty much had the best pitching staff, at least the bullpen, you know, of any team in NPB. Our bullpen was, you know, second to none as far as ERA goes. But who have you got for pitcher of the year?
All right, yeah, I'm going to go with Yuki Nishi because, I mean, there's a couple other guys that I have that are potential pitchers of the year for me, but I've got them in other categories. But I think he just came as advertised. He was extremely reliable, you know, consistently put up good numbers in terms of quality starts. He would have had probably double the number of wins if he had proper run support, which he didn't get from his team, unfortunately. But I just can't really find anything to complain about with him. And he just really did exactly what we needed him to do. He sort of turned into our de facto ace, you know, barring them picking up anybody else this offseason. So, yeah, I got to give it to Nishi.
Well, and he's all but certainly going to be our opening day starter next year because, you know, he's been the only real steady pitcher that we've had. The only guy that could give him a run for his money might be Haruto if he, you know, does really well, you know, in fall camp as well as spring training. But I think Nishi's got it. So, yeah. So actually, Sanjay agrees with you on the Nishi decision, but me and Zorni actually went in a different direction. We both wanted to acknowledge PJ and all that he has done. And I also have QG in there as one of mine. But so, you know, both of these guys were just rocks in the bullpen. I would actually even say more so QG than PJ, simply because PJ had a couple of times where he needed some time off. But nevertheless, he still pitched in 58 games, 1.38 ERA, gave up just 2 home runs. Both of them actually ended up giving him losses, I think, in the games. Or I think one of them was ended up being a tie game because of that. Anyways, averaging 14 strikeouts per 9 innings, which is just absolutely incredible number.
Mm-hmm.
Just a shade below that is QG with 13.34 Ks per 9. And that's for a 39-year-old dude with a 1.77 ERA and 56 mounds of his own. So these guys pretty much had, you know, almost the same workload, almost the same ERA, almost the same Ks per 9. Props to both of them. I think, you know, Johnson had a bit better control, so he had fewer base runners, but in the end, you know, they held the opposition off the board equally well. So I'm giving it to them because without that, I don't know what our season would have looked like. I don't even want to think about what our season would have looked like without those two guys there. So there you go. Okay, so the next award is Defender of the Year. And, you know, this is for a team that set a record, I think, for, like, triple-digit errors on the year. And errors don't tell everything, but certainly they do say a lot about how sloppy the defense was. For me, there's only one choice. And I don't know what you said, but me and Zorni and Sanjay all agree that it's Umeno.
Yeah, no, same here. Yeah, it's got to be Umeno.
How many balls did he block? How many runners did he throw out at second base? He set a record for putouts. For a catcher in a season, I believe. Of course, putouts also include the times where, you know, he's throwing to first base on those strikeouts where, you know, the ball's in the dirt or whatever. But nevertheless, you know, he's setting that record. You can't do that unless you're a good defender. And he got it done, you know, all season. He was just as solid as, you know, as solid a guy as you could ask for behind the dish. And so, you know, all this talk, I was looking back on some stuff from a few years back saying like, oh yeah, Sakamoto looks to be the catcher of the future. Not no more. No, I think Umeno is our catcher for the next at least, you know, half decade, but that remains to be seen. He's still just 28 years old, but yeah, excellent stuff from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we got a unanimous one there. I can't help but wonder if we won't get a unanimous one next as well, and that is for Runner of the Year. And for me, it's not just about stolen bases. It's about showing wisdom on the base paths and things like that as well. But I'm still going to give it to Chikamoto, and Zorni and Sanjay also did.
Yep, same here.
Any reasons why?
Well,
besides
the
obvious?
Yeah, I mean, beyond the base stealing, I mean, well, I've got a soft spot because I was at the game in Hiroshima, the first game of the Reiwa era, where we got to see Chikamoto steal second and then third on consecutive pitches, I believe. So that was quite cool to see. But the one other thing I like about him is just his speed going down the line, because like you mentioned, he only hit into two double plays. You know, he always beats out the throws to first. And, you know, he makes guys, we talked about this before, he makes guys rush their throws, and so their throws are going to be off target. He just really puts a lot of pressure on the other team, regardless of where he is, basically, what base he's on, you know. So, yeah, I can't really complain about anything there. And it's just great to have him on the base paths, because you know something good is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I was reading an article today from the old Ibata, who used to play, I believe, for the Dragons, and he was talking about Chikamoto and Murakami, the two star rookies. And he said, with Chikamoto, man, like anytime he's on the base paths, the whole all the fielders are just tense, right? I mean, they're like, they got to keep their eye on him as well as the ball, as well as what's going on. So there's just that one extra thing for them to think about. And for a pitcher, he said, well, pitcher and fielder, he said, you know, a guy like Chikamoto is almost more annoying than a home run hitter, because he gives you too much to think about. And so, yeah, I'm going to give it to Chikamoto just for that presence as well. Okay, so unanimous there. How about the next one, which I have named the surprise of the year? And this is, of course, the surprise in a good way, not in a bad way. Which player surprised you, defied your or everybody's expectations, and did more than enough to stay on the team even longer?
Well, I mean, at the beginning of this season, I was looking at Pierce Johnson's numbers from the majors and the minors, and I was just shaking my head wondering if this was going to be another disaster signing, you know, some guy that they picked up off the scrap heap. And I am eating plenty of crow after that one. Pierce Johnson completely defied my expectations. Obviously, you already mentioned everything that he's done, so I don't need to go back onto that. But yeah, just totally blew me away, and I was really, really happy to be surprised that much.
Okay, I'm all for that as well, although I didn't vote that way. Let's go with Sanjay and then Zorni and then myself. So Sanjay said Itohara, and there's no reasoning, but you know, obviously Itohara maybe stepping in as captain would be one of the reasons, and just doing an admirable job. You know, he played mostly second base, but he played some short. He played a little bit at third base. He hit all through the lineup, remained pretty constant through the year, continued to have good discipline at the plate, and so on. So I think that might be it. Just that it's a surprise that he's continuing to produce well. Zorni said Chikamoto, and I'm also on board with Chikamoto and Kinami. And my reasoning for that is, after the draft, especially after the picking of Chikamoto, I think I, along with the entire Hanshin Nation, was like, who is this guy? And why couldn't we just win the stinking draw to get Fujiwara or Tatsumi? Because we lost out on those two guys, and then we ended up with Chikamoto, and everybody was shaking their heads going, what is Yano doing? Well, thank you, Yano, for picking Chikamoto, because this season would have been very different without him. And then Kinami as well in the third spot. You know, the guy turned 25 in June, and I kind of thought, like, well, he might be lucky to be a role player, if that, but he's certainly not going to be a starter, and certainly not this year. And, you know, he went out and got 93 hits on the season and hit a couple of key home runs during the year. And I just think that he showed the guts that some of our players didn't have to actually, like, play with confidence. And I just really like that. So those are my surprises. Disappointment of the year is the next one, which is the kind of mirror image, or the flip side of the surprise of the year. And I'm going with none other than, I hate to do this, the guy who led the team in home runs and RBIs, but Yusuke Oyama. You know, after his September last year, where he hit 9 home runs in that single month, I was expecting him to do at least double that on the season, like at least 18 home runs on the season. He didn't even come close. He hit 14 on the season, including after May, I think he had a total of 6, and that's in 4 months. So boo on Oyama, although he started to turn the corner, and I still have hope, high expectations for him.
No, I'm all there. I agree with you 100%. I mean, there's all this talk about him being the next, you know, number 4 slugger that we're going to get, and it just hasn't materialized at all. And so, yeah, we just had to temper our expectations over and over and over again with him. And I just sort of wonder how long that's going to continue.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it doesn't continue. And I hope he actually does step up and be the man. But we'll see what happens with the draft as well, and if we're picking guys that could be his replacement or not. Okay, Zorni said Solarte, and you know, Zorni was quite high on Solarte, and you know, having been a Red Sox fan, or being a Red Sox fan and having seen him play with the Yankees and Blue Jays, he kind of knew what we were getting. But he didn't pan out. And then Sanjay actually went with the obvious choice that none of us did, and that would be Shintaro Fujinami. the guy that, you know, as we talked about before we hit record, we might even have a corner next year of just, where's Fujinami now? Because it seems like we want to talk about him, but there's never anything too exciting, but we still want to make it sound a bit exciting. But this is a guy that, you know, for the first time in his career, had no wins on the season. And obviously, you know, he only had the one start on the top squad and spent the rest of the year down on the farm. So yeah, big time disappointment. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going into it's kind of a two-sided one. One is the guy who aged the best, and then the guy who aged the poorest. So we'll start with the guy who aged well. And myself and Zorni both chose the guy that we've talked about plenty already in this show, but that would be Kyuji Fujikawa, who just continues to defy the odds and defy Father Time. And yeah, props to him for that. Yep. So not much more we need to say.
No, yeah, I said the same thing. You know, like I kind of gave it away a little bit earlier, but yeah, what can you say? He's just, he's got the fountain of youth or whatever somewhere.
Definitely. Sanjay is the only outlier here, and he's saying Fukudome, and I'm okay with that as well. I mean, the guy has lost some of his range in left, but he, you know, he still got double-digit home runs this year, which is pretty impressive. And then even in the postseason there, did you notice he stole a base? That was pretty impressive. It was really
See that, actually. I could have totally missed it.
Yeah. You know, he noticed that the pitcher was giving him no attention, and he said, okay, well, then I'll give you something to look at. And he stole second. So pretty good stuff. Yeah. We'll talk about what we think Fukudome means to the team in 2020 and beyond in the next show, actually, because we're going to talk about what the team needs to do to redefine itself or rebuild itself to be a true contender. Anyways. Moving on, who aged poorly in your opinion?
Oh, it's got to be Yoshio Itoi, I think. I mean, injuries have caught up to him. His defense, I mean, the jogging in the field that we've always seen is just, it's excruciating to watch. His power is sputtering too. I mean, his batting average was obviously very high, but we didn't pick him up for batting average. You know, we picked him up to produce some home runs, and he hasn't done it. And I just...
steal some bases, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of glad that next year is his last year on the contract, because I just don't see anything positive happening with him moving forward. So sorry, Yoshio, I feel bad saying it, but yeah, it's just he's the only choice for me.
Well, he's aged poorly, even like an old car that just keeps breaking down. You know, because this is a guy that prides himself on his body and in being in top physical condition, and yet he can't seem to stay in the lineup for a whole season. He hasn't done it yet with the Tigers, and that's in 3 years. So I can't imagine that his age 39 season is going to be any better. But then again, 39 was a magic number for QG. 39 is also the old number of our manager when he was a player. So I don't know. I'll applaud and I'll cheer for him if he does do well, but I don't expect it. So I'm actually saying Hiroki Uemoto. Not that he was, he wasn't that bad, and he's not that old, but you know, this is a guy that just could not find his swing. And you know, if you don't get on the base paths, you're not going to steal bases. But even then, I don't think he was stealing many bases. And I think maybe last year's injury might have brought an end to the speedy Uemoto that's going to be stealing bases the way he used to. So I kind of can't help but feel that, you know, he's a free agent this year. He might be on his way out. I don't hope that he is, but if he is, I mean, I hope that he gets used well wherever he goes, but I don't think he aged very well with the Tigers this past season. All right, well, the next one is it's an easy one to do because nobody chose a winner, unless you have one, for Farm Boy of the Year, and that would be for the top performer down on the old farm. Do you have anybody or not?
No, I was too busy following the top squad. I really didn't follow the farm very much at all this year, except when our boy Fujinami was doing up to something down there. But no, who do you have?
I'm actually going to go with Takumi Akiyama, who doesn't belong down on the farm. But, you know, he did quite well for himself. In 13 starts, he won 10 games and lost just two. You know, he looked quite good down there. His ERA is 2.67. And this is a guy that, again, like we've said, he doesn't belong down there, but he's the only one that really put up great pitching numbers for the team down there. I don't think they were spectacular in relief. In fact, they had like, oh man, now that I look, I can't even count the number. I think they had 11 different guys get saves. So they didn't have, you know, a lights out closer or somebody that is going to take over anytime soon. And then for hitters, I mean, we really didn't have anyone hit for a decent average. You know, you might want to give the Farm Boy award to Egoshi, who hit 289 and had 10 home runs, which led the team. But that's about it. I mean, none of our guys that should be down there did very well. So, yeah. So we'll pass over that and we'll move into our final four, which are all, or pardon me, three of the four are of the year ones. So actually, before that, let's go into the other one, which is the most coveted player. And the rule for this one is, which player would you take from another team and plug him immediately into our lineup, knowing that by plugging him in, you have to kick somebody to the curb? So you're going position for position, basically, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. Yeah. So Sanjay said nobody, and he's just a true, like, we've talked about this. He's got the rose-colored glasses, and everybody on the Tigers is perfect. But who you got?
Well, I mean, this one was hard because I think that we do have a lot of needs on the team, and I didn't really have the time to go through and look at all the different teams and who they've got. But I would just say basically any power hitter who could replace Oyama at third. I hate to say it, Oyama, but just given the boot, you know, even like a Laird, you know, to talk about like how people were talking about how the Tigers should pick up Laird in the offseason. You know, somebody like Laird would probably plug in there pretty well. Or even, I mean, because I know that Marte can also play third. So shift Marte to third. And then there's a couple of Pacific League first basemen who can hit a ton of home runs too. But just anybody who can hit a lot of home runs basically is who I want. And, you know, if I had to choose who I was going to get rid of, it'd be Oyama. So, yeah, that's basically my criteria at this point.
Wow. Okay. Well, Zorni actually said he would like to see Maru in our lineup replacing Takayama, which is kind of unfair because Maru is center field and Takayama has been playing right field. But, you know, Takayama does play some center, so I'll accept that. Although technically, I mean, if you went 2019 only, it would be Maru for Chikamoto, and I don't want that. Even though Maru is great, I like Chikamoto as a person and as a base runner and everything. I'm going to go with one that takes us back to most of 2019 when we had our jogger in right field, Itoi. And I'm going to say, give us Seiya Suzuki.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put Seiya Suzuki in there, who led the Central in OPS this year by a long shot. Incredible on-base percentage. Hit for great power. He actually stole like 24 bases as well. And get rid of old man Itoi. There you go. Okay. So how shall we do this? Let's start with the event of the year. And by event of the year, it could be an exciting thing. It could be a sad thing, but something that happened that wasn't necessarily a game in and of itself, but just something that happened that left an impact on the team. So Sanjay said Randy Messenger's retirement. And, you know, we've talked about Randy on like 107 of our 108 episodes or more. You know, he means a lot to the team. And so him leaving after 10 seasons is huge, of course. And Zorni said the All-Star game, which, yeah, that's great. The one in Koshien, that was awesome. With Chikamoto hitting for the cycle, Umeno and Haraguchi with back-to-back home runs, and Haraguchi hitting a home run at Tokyo Dome as well as a pinch hitter. So that's some pretty exciting stuff right there. And that gave us tons of excitement at a time where usually we don't get any because usually the Tigers don't play in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. So what you got for this one?
I'm going to go with the final eight games of the season. I mean, we were facing down defeat. You know, every single game would have meant that we were done. And the team just stepped it up so well through that period. And just gave me, as a Tigers fan, some this kind of excitement that I haven't had in a long time, you know. So I'm just gonna have to go with those. It was just such a great feeling to be at the stadium, you know, when they finished that off and to head to the playoffs and stuff. So yeah, man, just amazing thing to see.
Good call, good choice. I'm with you on that one for sure. But I'm actually gonna go with event of the year, Solarte, and I'm calling it Gone with the Wind. You know. He came in very suddenly and quickly in July to a lot of hype, hit a home run, a game-winning home run in his first game, hit a walk-off home run in his fourth game, which was his first home game, and about a month later, he was on a flight back to America. A whole lot of stuff happened in between, but if you want to read about that, you can find it on the website. He lost his motivation, is the story we got. just typical of what happens to some foreigners here. And, you know, he's just adding to the legend of Hanshin not being able to handle its foreigners, especially hitters. So I like that one because that one happened during my time as a fan, as opposed to like the Mike Greenwell one, which was 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago. Yeah. All right. So the last two that we've got are home run of the year and game of the year. And let's start with the home run of the year. Have you got one?
Yeah, so on the subject of Solarte, I'm going to have to say that his first homer against the Giants was something that was pretty amazing to me. I mean, if setting aside all the drama and everything that went down with him, I mean, you think about it, he got here, he'd basically stepped on Japanese soil, like 4 days before, hadn't played a single actual real game here in Japan, probably still jet-lagged, and he comes in, you know, in a game with our arch rivals, our arch nemesis, and just blast that home run. It was just an amazing thing to see. He turned on it so hard and just watched it go. And it was just like, again, you know, talk about a moment that just makes you stand up and just start to cheer like crazy. Just like, yes, like this is awesome. Awesome to see. So, I mean, there were a lot. I'd have to give an honorable mention, obviously, to Hojo's home run in the series against DeNA that just really was sort of the cherry on top of our comeback against the Bay Stars. But just in terms of the excitement it generated at the time for me, I think it was Solarte home run.
Yeah, and his hero interview after that game was actually quite exciting as well. At Tokyo Dome, he was on cloud nine, and so were the fans. And you know, he was the Messiah until 6 weeks later, as we said, he was the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Figuratively speaking, of course. So speaking of Solarte, though, Zorni also gave his home run of the year to Solarte, not for the one you mentioned, but the other one. And that would be, he said, not just one, but two homers in the same day by Solarte. He hit number 8,000, the 8,000th home run. Does that make sense? Or 80,000th? 8,000th home run in league history for his first one in the game. And then he hit the two-run walk-off home run against the Dragons, and that was on the 30th of July. And if you remember a few episodes back, I started our show with my lame attempt at replicating the call on Toratere for that one, but amazing. That was also very exciting stuff, and that one probably excited me even more than the Giants one, although they were both right up there. Sanjay is going with the Haraguchi home run, and I'm not sure which one this means, because he hit three home runs this year, two of which were in the All-Star game. I'm assuming it wasn't the one that he hit in regular play, which was against the Carp in like an 8-1 loss or something like that. So I'm going to guess it was the one at Tokyo Dome where he came in as a pinch hitter, because a lot of people had said, why is Haraguchi in this All-Star game? Oh, it's just a sentimental choice. He doesn't deserve to be here. He doesn't belong with these star players. And then his one at bat and he crushes one. So I think that's probably the one. Although the other one was also sweet. So good call by Sanjay, but I'm going with the one that I actually called and left up on Facebook Live on the HSN Facebook page, and that is the Takayama walk-off Grand Slam home run on May the 29th against the Giants at Koshien Stadium. That was beyond exciting after an extremely exhausting game. So a good reward, though, for sticking in there, and I was ready to leave after the 11th when we blew a bases-loaded no-outs chance. But I was like, you know what? I may as well stay till the end. And I'm so glad I did. Mm-hmm. So actually, that's my game of the year as well. The May 29th against the Giants. Yeah, like I said, just a crazy ending to a wild game. That one also featured a Marte home run to tie the game in the bottom of the eighth. So that was just a cool game to be at for sure. And it wasn't one I planned on being at. So that made it even that much more sweet that it was a short notice invitation, spontaneous going to the stadium. And that's what I got.
Nice.
How about you?
Man, I've really got too many. I was really lucky this season. I got to go to some awesome games.
You and me both. You know,
yeah, right. So, I mean, you got to go to both the openers. So the Kyocera Dome opener, but obviously the Koshien home opener was just amazing. You know, getting to go and see Umeno hit for the cycle on this crazy roller coaster of a game. And getting to go with a friend of mine who's an older guy who's been a Tigers fan since he was like 5 years old. And just I brought him to Koshien a few times, and he just always has such a great time when he's there. So that always makes it a little bit special. Got to see the first game of the Reiwa era, again with another really good friend of mine who's a big baseball guy. So that was a lot of fun to see. And then obviously being at Koshien for the last game of the season to see them, punch their ticket to the postseason was, again, phenomenal. I mean, and just to juxtapose that against being at the home opener was just such a cool thing. It's the first time I've ever been able to do that. But then in general, I think, you know, the final win against DeNA was just really amazing. You know, seeing QG grit it out in the rain to push us further into the postseason than I've seen in a long time now was just a really amazing thing. So there's just, you know, thinking back on it, there were a lot of really good games to watch, you know, interspersed obviously with a lot of mediocrity in there. But I feel like this season I got my money's worth as a Tigers fan.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you touched on one of the ones that Zorni, or you touched on the one that Zorni mentioned, which was the last game of the season, or no, maybe you didn't. Anyway, so the last game of the season is what he said. And I'm assuming he means regular season, when we beat the Dragons. And then Sanjay agreed with me on the May 29th game against the Giants. But yeah, like I think I saw three or four walk-off game wins for the Tigers this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty special as well. And you know, I had this whole spiel ready for this episode, which was supposed to come out like almost a month ago, where I was going to say, okay, everyone, the Tigers finished fourth, but you know, let's not fret, because you know what, this team has given us a ton of entertainment this year. And I had this full thing ready of what I was going to say when we ended the season on a fourth place finish, but we got a whole bunch more than that. So, you know, props to the team for really coming through. But honestly, I mean, what an entertaining season. So, yeah, I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah, and I want to just, again, give it up to Yano. I mean, his first year as manager, coming through, doing, you know, I mean, obviously some questions in there now and then, but I mean, that's just us being armchair managers again to a great extent. But, you know, I think you can't really ask for much more in a manager's first year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with the team next year, too.
And that leads us right into our next segment, which is predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
And you might be wondering, what are we predicting here? Well, we are actually going to quickly jump back on to the Japan series and predict who's going to win and in how many games, just real quick. But then I also want to do the earliest predictions in the world about Hanshin 2020. So first off, JD, the Hawks against the Giants, with the Hawks having home field advantage, so to speak, four games at home to the Giants three. Who's going to win and in how many games?
Hawks in seven.
Okay, I'm going to say Hawks in six. So there you have it, everybody. We'll see which one of us is right, if any. And how about the Hanshin Tigers in 2020? Do you think that they are going to build on their third place finish, or do you think they're not? And obviously, you know, there's so much that's going to happen between now and next season, but real quick, what do you say?
Man, oh man. Well, I mean, this is more me being hopeful, I think, than actually predicting anything, but I'm hoping they pick up a, you know, a power slugger, whether it's a foreigner or, you know, if the free agent market's a little bit sparse this year, they get someone in there who can hit some home runs. I think the bullpen's probably going to cool down a little bit. You know, it's hard to follow up a season like we had this year. And we're going to need, you know, another one or two starters. So we'll see sort of what the draft brings us. Probably not in terms of starters, but in terms of, you know, other people who can perhaps play the field, who can pull off maybe another Kinami, another Chikamoto, something like that. I'm going to say third place. I think we can do it. I think the carp are on the wane now. And I think we've got the beginnings of a decent team. Got a lot of holes to fill, but I think we can fill them. So I'm saying third place.
You know what I'm going to say? Hanshin is going to finish. Of course, I'm going to say they're going to win the pennant. That's what I always say every year. But let me give you some logic behind this, okay? Real quick, I'm not even going to talk about Hanshin, because we just know Hanshin is going to have a great season. But the Giants are going to regress because, well, I have some insider information about something that's going to happen. But, you know, they're coming off of this, you know, first pennant in ages, and they're just not going to have the same season that they had this year. I'll say that. Then you're looking at the Bay Stars. They're losing Tsutsugo, and I just think they're not going to make the playoffs next year. The Carp, you know, yeah, they're not going to get any better either anytime soon. In fact, they might lose Kikuchi to the majors or elsewhere this offseason. Plus, they're losing Yusuke Nomura, one of their pitchers. So they're not going to make the playoffs. The Swallows, let's not even talk about the Swallows. So I really think that it's going to be the Tigers in first, the Giants in second, and the Dragons are going to be the surprise team to make the playoffs. They're going to be in third. That's what it's going to look like. And that's kind of back to the way things have been traditionally in the CL, where the strong teams are those three and the weak teams are the other three. And I think we're going to start 2020. That's going to be the first year of the decade, and things are going to go back to quote-unquote normal. So there you have it.
I like the logic. I didn't really think of it about the Giants that way. And yeah, with DeNA losing Sugo, that's going to leave a big hole in their lineup as well. So maybe you're right. Maybe we can finish a little bit higher up.
Well, I'm going to write down my predictions now for next season and see if they remain the same at the start of next season. But anyhow. That brings this show to an end, so thank you very much for your time and passion for the Tigers, and for listening to me as I slowly lose my voice from talking too much again. We always go longer than we expect, but this offseason I am hoping to continue to keep everybody up to beat on what's going on with the Hanshin Tigers, so continue to check out the website. We're going to have one more podcast for sure before we end this season, because we got to talk about the draft and what we're going to do this offseason to make sure that we do win the championship and so on. So stay tuned for that as well. I will be on social media a lot less, but you can still just make sure that you're in there so that you get what little news I do share. And that's on Twitter especially, but also on Facebook and very occasionally on Instagram. So everybody, until next time, let's keep on cheering until the team is back on the field. The real field. We're not talking about fall camp and spring camp. We're talking about the real deal. And we're winning the championship in 2020. Have a good one, everybody.
Go Tigers, and go Hawks too, actually. Come on, you know they're itchy bone.